All right, we'll keep moving along. We are now joined by the driver, the number 23 Toyota Camry XSC for 2311 Racing, Bubba Wallace. We'll move straight to questions with this one. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll go ahead and get a wireless mic to you. Who wants to go ahead and start us off?
It's like sitting in class and the kids you always get in trouble with are just staring at you.
We'll go with Bob first.
Bob Hockrest, Fox Sports.
This will be a good one.
Yeah. How was the competition meeting with Denny in 2311, or does he not attend those now that he's in the playoffs?
Yeah, it was, look, it was definitely a somber week for sure. And I hate that it got to this point. The lingering effect, but Denny and I just talked 30 minutes ago. And it was a good heart-to-heart conversation, came from a place of peace, went better than I thought it would. and he shared his side of things, and I shared mine, and we had common ground. And, you know, and I told him this. It was kind of funny because I kind of sent him on a detour when I said, because I said, you can go first. And then he started talking, and 5 seconds in, I said, just so you know, I'm not mad about getting fenced, going for the win. And his eyes were like, oh, well, I need a second to reposition where I'm going to go. And so just so we're all clear on that, like, that's not going to be the last time that I'm battling for a win and it doesn't go our way in that sort of fashion, whether that's Denny or anybody in the field. But I'll be a little gracious here and say 95% of the people on this side of the catch fence look at that move as, oof, right? Oof. That's it. And while the other 5% are, whether they're buddies or whatever, they don't care, and then they see the other side of it. I don't fault Denny Hamlin for racing for a win, racing for his team and his sponsors. That's when I get the question a lot, what's it like racing Denny on the racetrack? No offense to them, but I could give two shits because he's competitor, and he has labeled it that way. And so that was two competitors going for a win. And so as much as it didn't work out, I have to respect that. And you know, I think Dale said it, I have every right to be pissed off about it, right? My biggest thing was that Toyota didn't win. And before I left my motorhome after the race, you know, I text Toyota reps apologizing that we didn't win. We had five in the top five to take the green flag there on the last restart, none of us won. I just told Chase, you know, we alley-ooped that for him. He appreciated it, you know? That's what, It was all the people that got affected. That's where my frustration came from, because I felt like I was stepping up for them. And so while the conversation went really well, you know, the pain is still there a little bit, but it definitely eased it. So I appreciate Denny's comments. Never want him to back down in any scenario, but I didn't get a chance to see the rest of the corner. That sucks.
Is the pain just because you didn't win, or because it potentially cost you a shot at the title?
Both. I don't expect to, you know, I'm not an owner and a driver. I don't know what the thought process is of whatnot. It's easy to sit there and Monday quarterback it, or in this case, Saturday quarterback it. You know, I'm sure it's a difficult thing to juggle. Like, man, it's really good if I get 60 wins, and it's really good, you know, that I advance myself in playoffs. But, man, it's also really good if the car that I own gets locked into the next round and a lot of money on the line. There's a lot of layers to all of that. And you don't think about that. I would assume you don't think about that in the moment. You're going for a win, and you do what you got to do. So that's what we've always done since we were kids, since we started out. You got to do what you got to do to win races. And some respectful more than others. And that's just you have to deal with that. You have to, unfortunately, I guess, respect that and accept it and move on.
We'll come up front here to Jordan next, then we'll go to Dustin.
It's never good when you smile and you're about to ask a question.
I'm a smiley person.
Yeah.
Jordan Bianchi, Athletic. Amid everything going on with 2311 off the racetrack, as we know, what is the mood currently within the shop as that date gets closer when things are going to get real serious?
Well, I would say, you know, none of us have, and this could be maybe, I don't want to call it naive to the fact, but we don't go there and talk about December 1st. We don't, like, it is our jobs to, it's our livelihoods to give it everything we got for the race that's ahead of us. And that sounds like a very cliche answer, but I could care less. Like, I got five left. It's five races. Five races left to go out and fight for a championship, and I set that tone from the beginning of the year. Like, we got to, you know, work our tails off to make it count each and every week. And with everything going on in the background, you know, I encourage my guys to stay focused on that. And so I can't answer your question and give you any insight to that, nor would I if it was the case, but I genuinely don't feel that. Now, if Sunday was December 1st, the mood was pretty down, and I hate that for my team. But it's a new week, a new weekend, a fresh opportunity in front of us, and it's time to go focus on that.
There's all sorts of developments regarding what's going on off the track with 2311 last night, for example. How much attention do you pay to everything? How many questions are you asking? That kind of thing.
I focus on the things that I can control and let everything else sit on the background. Didn't even know anything went on last night. So that just shows you how, I guess, out of tune I am, but focused on, for me, the more important things.
Go ahead, Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Bubba, can you explain something? Because you confused me on something you said earlier at the beginning. You're not upset about, in your words, being fenced for the win. The frustration is letting somebody else other than a Toyota win. But I guess my confusion or question is, when you're in that situation, there's so much going on. What more could be done so whatever you do, it doesn't permit somebody other than a Toyota to win in that situation? It seems like everybody's going for it. So how does that aspect enter into the mind? Why is that a frustration, as if that's something that can be changed? I was just kind of confused.
Yeah, you turn left and go for the bottom. Simple as that. A lot of people want to relate that move to my move to Seabell. Seabell got to see the other side of the corner, and I was on the bottom to start the corner and then drifted up. And that was the thing, is I text Seabell before I left the bus. And I said, hey man, my full intentions were to use the air. That's the one thing, you know, we can go back to when Larson fenced me at Vegas. We all know that moment. Let's not freak out. But he didn't touch me, I don't think. It's more so his air. Put me in the fence. And there's a fine line of just forcing somebody to lift, but also just putting somebody in the fence. And I texted Seabell after the race. I said, my full intentions were to make you lift, not to put you in the fence. And I apologize for that. And, you know, he took it, I guess, as best as he could. But I reached out immediately because I seen the replay after the fact. And I was like, damn, I did not want that. But I allowed him to, I don't know how long it takes you to get from turn three to turn four, a couple seconds. I allowed him to see that, right? And so, yeah, just the way it was kind of handled after the fact is the frustration too.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah.
How are you and your team better than a year ago?
You know, I've joked around since Indy saying I don't care, right? And, you know, for the longest time, I was just always racing as like job security. And no matter how long you signed, you know, I go back to COTA when I crashed out third race in the season. I said I needed to be replaced because I was just always chasing like the results and wasn't living up to expectations for self, and I'm sure expectations for the team. And so I was just kind of being a realistic slash pessimistic. Of like, I'm not doing the job right. And now, like, Indy allowed me to enjoy the job that I did, and also just replay that. And it's like, man, you didn't care in that moment. Like, you raced because you loved it. And so I think that's been the biggest shift. And just everybody supporting that and showing up and having fun. Like, man, it's been fun being on a racetrack. Everybody has told me that the start of Kansas last Sunday, they say I like to give up. I don't give up. I never give up. So that's complete BS when you hear that. But the outcome would have been different. Bubba wouldn't have been fighting for a win a year ago if his Kansas race started out like that. And so I think it's just legit letting the little stuff go and allowing yourself a chance to breathe and see things differently has produced a lot of the results.
We'll go to Cameron and then to Reed next.
Cameron Richardson, NASCAR.com. I am curious, because you said you texted Sebo right after Sunday and you apologized. So does it kind of add another layer to that when Denny just goes on the next day and has a whole graphic that says, I won't apologize? Like, isn't it just the tension and awkwardness just stem from the uniqueness of the situation where it really is the only sport where the co-owner is actively trying to beat his team to win on the track?
Yeah, you know, that you kind of hit it right there on the head. You know, it was just the way it was kind of handled behind the scenes just kept going, kept adding fuel to the fire. And I hate that it got to that point. I expressed my displeasure in that with Denny today, and he totally respected it. Because I'm a guy that, you know, if we have confrontation and it's not settled, like it's lingering. And then now, like, I'm in this spot to where I'm 25, six points out. And what I expressed to him, what you would need from your drivers to be 110% focused on what to do, how to execute, go out there and beat SVG. And I've had a dark cloud over my mind all weekend long, man. It's not fair to my team. Right. And so expressed all that. He totally understood that. And quite frankly, the conversation allowed him to see things from a different perspective. Denny usually doesn't do that, but it allowed him to have that opportunity. So as much as I wanted to come in here and MF the guy, the competitor, Denny, the conversation went better than expected. And you feel lighter, like I said earlier, you feel lighter on your feet, but you can't just, okay, that's over. Let's, like, there's a transition period you got to go through, and it sucks that it's happening on Saturday.
Apologies for shifting gears just for a second, but as far as next week's goes in Vegas, could you just preview what kind of challenges present itself about that track?
Yeah. Looking forward to going to Vegas. If it's anything like Kansas with Toyotas and the speed, hopefully it's the same. Just don't let a Chevy win. But yeah, it's I look at it as a great opportunity to kick off the round of eight or just go out and get another win.
Please give mic to Reed Spencer over here in the middle.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. As a follow-up to Dustin's question, you said he could have turned down. Denny in his tweet said that he was trying to turn. Did you not buy that? And, you know, he added the power steering issues, but then again, he was up a full lane to get into you.
Yeah, I think my power steering went out too when something happened to Larson in Vegas, right? So that's the thing, like, you know, the conversations weren't had privately before the tweets and the podcasts and stuff went out. So, again, we can keep harping on that, but all the air is cleared officially, and that's, we got to focus on that. But no, like I said, 95% of the garage looked at that move and was like, oof. I mean, I can ask Joey, what'd you think about that move last week, Joey? Yeah. He's in the 95%. Thanks. That's said enough, pal. Appreciate you. Oh, I know.
All right, Bubba. Well, thank you for your time today.
Thanks,
good luck,
guys.
This weekend.
Y'all have a good day.